You think it'll snow? Think it'll snow out today? I know, total silence. He's crazy. No, it's not going to snow. It's really crazy hot, isn't it? I mean, I still have trouble. I've lived here for about 30 years, but I still sort of have challenges with the heat. Weather is a very interesting thing. Weather is a very interesting thing. I had the privilege of walking my number three daughter, I have four daughters, walking my number three daughter down the aisle for her wedding and an outdoor wedding ceremony on the 4th of July back in the United States, Eastern United States. It was a wonderful time. It had been wonderful weather. We were sort of located in a particular area of Delaware, and it was an outdoor wedding. And so the weather had been very nice, and there was no plan B to the wedding. It had to be outside, and it had to be outside. It had been beautiful day and beautiful days on the run-up to that. Morning of the 4th of July is really beautiful. This was an early evening wedding. But that afternoon, it just rained. It rained and really rained. It poured rain. And we're all sort of milling around the area that was in the house that we were sort of assembled at and wonder what's going on. But at 5:30, the rain stopped. The sun came out, it was beautiful, and we were able to have the wedding on time, and we could with joy really celebrate together. So praise God for that. Amen? Well, yeah, I'm just, excuse me, I'm talking like a father now, but I'm really very happy about that. But you know, I looked over that thing, and you know what was written across all of it? Grace. Beautiful gift from heaven. By the way, the name of that area is called Sunny Bray. And my daughter Janelle married a wonderful Kenyan man, a wonderful believer, and his name is Bora, and that means pouring rain. Seriously. Like showers of blessing, right? So, you know, it's just wonderful, and it's wonderful when God just gives you a view of that and how wonderful he just does things, and he, I deeply believe, just smiles on us as he pours out his grace. Let me ask you something today. On a scale from 1 to 5, you don't have to answer it and fill in the blank and turn this into me, but on a 1 to 5, where is your joy and confidence today? Now, I'm not saying about sitting in this wonderful English service right now and how you're feeling, but how throughout the week are you facing, when you face challenges and situations, where is your confidence? Do you have a level of confidence? Is there a deep abiding joy in your heart and life? On a 1 to 5, a 1 is like nearly zero. A 5 is just even close to over the top. But where are you? I know it changes from time to time, but we have to be real with how we are sensing and feeling throughout the week. Where is that? Sometimes it wanes. Not long ago, I was with a friend here in Hong Kong. He's been a friend for the 30 years that I've been in Hong Kong. His family has faced some challenges. He does business in China. He's lost lost a lot of money in China. It was very difficult for him. His high school age son at that time, died of a brain tumor. And they've gone through very difficult times. I get together with him from time to time, and we will have lunch. And recently, we sat down, and he was sharing some concerns that he had. I shared a few concerns that I had and we're dealing with. And he said to me before we ordered, he said, let's say grace. That's a simple phrase, right? Let's pray. In English, we typically say, let's say grace. And it hit me. Amen. Let's say grace. God's grace, and may he meet us and encourage us and continue to give in our hearts and our minds a sense of his confidence and joy. Say grace. And I want us to say grace more. I want to say grace more, not just saying it verbally, but saying it with the depths of our soul. God's grace upon me. You know, when we look at this scripture today, I am very much taken with this verse. Let's read it again, okay? You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Say it one more time. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Today I want us to think about this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, probably in his late 60s when he wrote this to Timothy, probably in his 40s, and he was encouraging Timothy. As we know, sometimes we would get the impression that Timothy was a bit of a timid young man. But Paul was always about encouraging him, building him up. Paul would say to Timothy, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've run the course. Fighting. Courageous. Move on. And he would tell Timothy, you too must fight the good fight. And so he would always tell his mentee, be strong. Be strong in the grace. Don't pull back. Don't be fearful. We fall in fear. A life lived in fear is a life half lived. There's a Spanish proverb that goes that way. If we live in fear, it's like living a half life. And I deeply believe Paul saw that in Timothy, and he wanted to lift his heart and encourage him to continue to move on in confidence and in joy. When we move forward in life, we need that confidence. We need courage. Courage. I deeply believe courage is sort of the vortex virtue of all of the other noble qualities we talk about. Love is a virtue. Integrity. Kindness. Humility. Patience. It takes courage to launch these virtues. It takes courage to step out and show patience or love and reach out. Courage is what Paul wanted him to have. And he's saying, Timothy, be strong. Be strong. In the original language, it's endunamo. Endunamo. Dunamis. What does that sound like? Dynamite. be powerful. Know the dynamite of God's presence in your soul. And so he encourages Timothy to look around. I love this opening scriptures today that Grace read and expounded for us about children. About children. Their propensity to great faith and trusting. Trusting deeply. I was thinking of that and I thought, isn't it something, you know, I have a little granddaughter over 2 years old and she likes to look around. Look around, and when she's at a new place, like when we went to that place where we had the wedding, she had never seen a piano before, and there it was. Boy, she looked around. She went right over there, boom, boom, boom. She's looking around at other things. Don't touch that, Abigail. Oh, you can touch that. Oh, wow. Do you know, as spiritual children, we need to look around and say, wow, look at this. This is a new thing God's done. Look at this. Look at that. This is what we need to do. So today, I'd like us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said to Timothy, be strong in the grace. He says, so then be strong in the grace. The point being, so then what? Or therefore. What he was saying is, look at what I've just written to you, Timothy, and because of that, be strong in the grace. So what we're going to do today is do a little artwork, okay? Could you take your bulletin? Take your bulletin, take a pen, do a little artwork here. It's pretty simple, though. I'm not an artist, but I drew a circle in the middle of my page. That's what I'd like you to do, okay? Draw a circle. And what we're going to do is we're going to think about. And by the way, that circle, you are in the middle of that circle, okay? You are in the middle. And I'd like you to write these two words. I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded. Now, Paul is really, in various ways, through chapter 1, is indicating to Timothy the different points of grace that have surrounded him. So then, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, so then, be strong in this. Look around and see this grace that is around you. See these points of grace, and because of that, you can move forward in strength and confidence. Paul was writing that to Timothy. I deeply believe God, by his Spirit, is saying that to us today. Look around. look and see the blessings of God. And as we recount or are reminded of these blessings, that we too can leave this place with a greater sense of confidence, a greater sense of joy, a greater sense of His strength. You say, but I'm so weak. Kids are weak too, right? But that's when His strength is made known. Amen? When God's strength is more obvious, it's when we find our weakness and own our weaknesses. So, let's be strong in the grace. So, we're going to look at the first PowerPoint. Go one before that. So, let's read this together, okay? We're going to read again. So, we're going to read through the whole chapter here over the next few minutes. So, just get ready. Let's begin. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Timothy, I'll tell you what. Now, excuse me, I'm going to use vernacular. Timothy, buddy, my son. I love you. I think of you. I'm reminded of you. I have tears for you. And I want to see you so that I can be joyful. Why is he doing this? Because he is praying for Timothy. If you look at your circle again, I'd like you now to make spokes or lines out of the circle, okay? And there are going to be 8 different lines that indicate 8 different points of grace that Paul was pointing out to Timothy, and I believe we should point out to ourselves today. Paul was a prayer. Take the next slide, please. So we have loving prayer supporters, prayers. All of these are going to begin with P. You know how preachers are. We have to have a begin with a certain letter or something like this. So here we are, prayers. Not prayers, but of course prayers, but prayers. Paul was praying for Timothy. That was grace. Amen? He had a guy that loved him dearly, like a son. And he not only said, I love you, but I'm praying for you. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? I'm praying for you. Can you raise your hand if you've had somebody do that? Sure, of course. I've been praying for you. Have you ever said to somebody, I'm praying for you? How many have said that? Hope a few. Grace, you can take account. No, I'm just kidding. But the important thing is that that Timothy was to see that people, in fact, Paul was behind him in fervent prayer. We use the term lifting somebody up in prayer. Sometimes I open my hands and I envision that person. Sometimes I pray for my kids or my wife or other good friends. I envision just lifting them up in prayer, supporting them. Ask God to remind you of who those people are that are standing behind you in prayer, and be encouraged by that. Know that that is grace. We've been over here serving, adding another 10 years that we've been in Taiwan. We've been here nearly 40 years. Before we left for Asia, I was pastoring in Florida. We gave, performed a play, my wife and I and a few other people in our little church in Central Florida, and it was about holding the ropes. It was based on a quotation from William Carey, a very famous missionary back hundreds of years ago. And William Carey said this to people that were going to support him. He said, in India is a gold mine. I'm going to descend and dig. But you here at home must hold the ropes. You must hold the ropes. In other words, by prayer. We did that play back there. There's a little 10-year-old boy at that time. His name was Eddie. I just had breakfast with Eddie. I call him Ed now. I call him Ed, and he's 50 years old. And he looked at me over the breakfast table this summer, and he said, Steve, we're still holding the ropes. I'll tell you, you can't imagine what that does to you. People are praying for you. I was going through a tough time one time a number of years ago. A brother came to me at the church and said, Steve, my friend and I were fasting every Tuesday over lunch, and we're praying for you. That's just humbling. It's grace. Amen? And we need to be, number one, aware of those people that are praying for us and give thanks to God for prayers. And also, we need to be people who are channels of grace that way to others. It can be a wonderful thing if we mean it from our hearts, even when you're here today, even at the end, standing in that circle of prayer. Notice the circle there today, right? Circle of prayer, circle of grace, saying we're calling out to God for ourselves, but for other people. Prayers, a point of grace. Secondly, let's continue on. I'm reminded, please read with me if you'd like, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells. What is this? He's reminding him of parents. He's reminding him of his mom, the faith that was in his family. Thank God for faith in our families. Are you a parent? Raise your hand if you're a parent. That's wonderful. The challenge for us is that we are channels of grace, that we show faith, not just as we close our eyes in prayer for a meal, but day by day as we live, to be dispensers of grace by showing our children that we trust in God and that He means so much to us. He is the top priority in our lives. Amen? He is our Lord, and we live it not only by our lips, but by our life. Thank God. You're a parent. You need to do that. You think about, well, Steve, you're talking about, thank God for parents who are people who walk in faith. Perhaps you're sitting here today and you say, wrong, Steve. My parents are very far away from God. In fact, they aren't even here now. They didn't know the Lord when they were on the earth. What about me? Well, the cycle can stop now. And you can begin in your home to be that person of faith to influence and impress and encourage your own children. My dad is 87 years old. I told you I was home for this summer and I got to see him a little bit. Came to the wedding too. It was wonderful. We're sitting on the back porch one day. Had some breakfast. We're finished with breakfast. And I'm cleaning off the plates, about to go in. He starts talking to me about his doctor, his pain doctor. I met the pain doctor before, and he said, Dr. Miller, do you know that Dr. Miller, he's been arrested. In fact, he's in jail now. He had been selling extra medicine and writing out prescriptions for people he shouldn't have. He shook his head. I went in. I said, well, that's too bad. And I went in and took the plates into the kitchen, came back out, and he said, Steve, what I just said and spoke disparagingly of that man, I shouldn't be talking about it. I'm sorry. Yes, it was true, but still he was speaking disparagingly. He said, and he paused right there. He bowed his head and prayed to himself and asked God to forgive him. Humility, living out faith before his kids. That's grace, my friends. I look at my dad driving down the road. We're driving down the road. I said, we haven't prayed for a while. Let's pray. Okay, let's pray. I pray. I keep my eyes open when I'm driving, you know. We pray. Okay. It's wonderful. He calls out to God. He prays for all of his kids and his grandkids. He's quoting scripture and everything. And I'm thinking, God, help me. If you choose to keep me on the earth until I'm 86 or 87, that I would have that same kind of vibrant faith. Thank God. Thank God for parents. There's a verse in Psalm 145 that goes like this. One generation commends your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Generation to generation. Proclaim this. That, my friends, is a point of grace. So as you're drawing your lines out, remember you're still doing that? 2, 6 more to go. You say, uh-oh, we're going to be here till dinner. No, we'll keep going here. One is prayers, right? So write a line out, prayers. What's the next one? Parents, okay. Thank God for those, or be one yourself who is a dispenser of grace. 3, verses 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. What is this? You can go to the next one. This is, gumption means sort of courage, okay? It's another G. I'm a pastor, so it's gifts and gumption. But gumption for service. In other words, power for performance. Paul says to Timothy, you've been given these gifts. And perhaps Paul is imagining Timothy reading, saying, oh, yeah, I have these gifts. I'm responsible. God has given me these gifts to exercise. And Paul immediately in that says, but Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, self-control. We are given power, love, and self-control, not for us to personally enjoy for our own benefits. We are given power, love, and self-control to exercise the gifts he has given us. We need to trust in him for that power. And fear, don't allow fear to paralyze us. Jesus gives us strength and joy, his peace. So claim his power, amen? It's grace. He pours it upon us. God has given us this. Love. You can't love that person, that office person next to you. It's really hard. God says, you know what? It's probably impossible for you. And you said, you sure is. But God says to us by his Spirit, I will love through you. Amen? It's my power. It's my dynamite. It's my dunamis. Same original term here. That's what we are to be strong in. And so, we look at this and we see it is power to perform, power to exercise our gifts for his glory. A fourth one. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And the next one, please. So, what is this? This is salvation. This is God's deliverance. Paul is reminding him, we are saved by grace, not by works. Amen? We are lifted up out of the miry pit. Grace, as she was praying today, talking about, thank you for lifting us out of the pit. Amen, right? Are you thankful that God lifted you out of the pit? The psalmist David says that he took me, I waited patiently for the Lord and he heard my cry. He pulled me out of the mud and mire and put my feet on a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see that and fear and will trust in the Lord. We are, God by his grace has put us on his rock. Amen. He's put us on the rock. But please, don't ever forget that our feet are muddy from the pit. Don't forget the pit from which we have been dug. It is his grace. Jesus has saved us, praise God. And I say too that Jesus continues to save us from ourselves, to save us from our old nature, to save us from that impatience and that anger and that greed that we still deal with. We need to call daily, Jesus, save me. And he does, amen? He does, and he reaches down like he reached down in that Sea of Galilee and he pulled old Peter right up there. When Peter simply had that long Lord's Prayer, It was, Jesus, save me. And he did. He does it to you, and he does it to me, day by day. Johann Sebastian Bach wrote a number of amazing musical compositions. Many of you probably know at the end of every composition, he wrote these three initials, SDG, which means Soli Deo Gloria, which means to God alone be the glory. So he would finish this amazing work. I imagine he would just step back or exhausted or whatever and just say, God's work, praise God. But many don't realize that before Bach would even begin writing on his first blank page, he wrote two other initials, JJ, which is Jesu Juva, which in Latin means Jesus, help me. Before we start writing on the new blank page of our days. May we arise and say, Jesus, help me. Because he does. That's his grace. So, this is the preeminent Christ. Christ himself, present with us by his Spirit day by day. Are you feeling a little surrounded now? Prayers of the people. Prayers that you can give. Wonderful grace. Parents, being a parent, thank God for your parents, that preeminent Jesus. The fifth one, very short verse. For which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. So, he was blessed by appointed roles that had been given. These are appointed roles. Paul was speaking of himself. You're saying, well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not preacher, teacher. No. But we have a position in Christ. We have each one of us, no matter what level we are in our Christian life, when we entered the kingdom, we entered into the army of God. Amen? We all entered the same army. We are all under the same, listen closely, we are all under the same commission. We all are officers, commissioned officers in his army. And the commission is what? Jesus made it clear in every one of the Gospels. It's recorded. He said all authority in Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. I read that Great Commission again to have all of us realize, including me, that we are all under this commission. It should not be a duty or a drudgery. It should be a delight. Amen? It should be a delight. It should be a wonderful, it's a privilege. It is a privilege to have this position as a child of God and as a commissioned officer, as it were, in his glorious army. What are you doing about this in your own life? Dispensing this grace to others and realizing this grace on yourself, this position. May God enable us, loosen our tongues more sometimes to share. Loosen our hearts up so we're praying more for the lost. Broadening our vision so that we can see not just people getting in our way in the MTR and bothering us or a taxi driver that was so mean, but praying for them with the heart of Jesus, the shepherd that looked upon the sheep wandering and hurting. We need to be people that own our position. It's a gift. Sixthly, follow, Paul says, the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Now these are two. The pure message, the pattern of sound teaching. So Timothy is blessed with the wonderful, clear teaching of God. What's the name of this church again? Grace Gospel. Right? Grace upon grace. And grace is here. Grace. We're surrounded by grace today. We're always surrounded by grace. Amen? Just keep our eyes open as kids looking. Wow. Look at this. And this is wonderful grace. And thank God for the pure message of the gospel and the message of the teaching of Christ that comes through here systematically and clearly, not just week after week, but day after day after day. Amen? Thank God for that. And pray for those who dispense that and place that before you and give that to you. Thank God that his Holy Spirit is working through this church. But pray too and say, God, help me to be more of a dispenser of this teaching as well. that I'm not only given that baton and I'm not only encouraged to grasp hold of that baton, but that I would reach it out and share with others, train others in my own way, wherever it is, share clearly the wonderful, amazing, eternal teachings of Jesus. It's a trust that God has given to us, and it's grace. And the apostle says, trust the Holy Spirit to enable you to hold on to that. When we get to learning, studying the Word of God, sometimes we feel, oh man, I can't do this. Guess what? The news is you can't. I can't either. But it is God by His Spirit who inspired this Bible. And it is the very same Spirit who is dwelling in us right now. Excuse me. Amen? Dwelling in us. So He's there in the Word, and He is here in us. Wow, what a combination. That we can then, by His Spirit, enable us to grasp it. Probably shared this before. I did. Excuse me. Love to have hot pot in Taiwan. When we were in Taiwan. Hoguo, yeah. When we got there, it wasn't but a few months afterwards, I decided I was going to give my wife a nice Christmas gift. And it was a hoguo. I got a few other things, but the whole goal was a selfish motive. I knew she'd invite everybody to eat with her. And so our first time we had this, we invited people from the church over to enjoy whole goal with us. We had eaten it in a number of places, so we knew sort of how it worked. And you get this, the real wine and the real pian and the Thai, excuse me, you get the vegetables and the meat and all this stuff, and you get it together. And so we thought we'd just throw it all in. And I said, no, you have to wait till the little bubbles come up. And a little bubble. I said, put the lid on. So I said, okay. Get a little embarrassed. We're waiting so long. Open it up. No bubbles. I looked and it was on high, not low or off. It was a high. So he did it again. Oh, still no bubbles. Sorry. It's a new one. Then my daughter, leaning against the wall, said, Dad, look, the plug fell out. No power. It all looked real nice. Looks so wonderful, but no power. You know, we can just go through the motions. We can even come here and go up and down these elevators every Sunday and do a lot of studying and even sing our hearts out. But if we don't know the deep power of His Spirit to fulfill and obey God, it's nothing. So, effective power to do His work, to hold tightly to the truth. And don't let cults or any kind of eloquent person who's trying to pull you away, don't let him or her do it. Or anything that you find on the internet. The Holy Spirit, be plugged into His power day by day to hold tight. And what is that? That is grace. Next one, please. May the Lord grant mercy. On us first. Can you say that five times real? No, I'm just kidding. For He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when He arrived in Rome, He searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy. What is this point of grace? You know what this is? Onesiphorus was an old good friend of Paul's. Paul was thrown in jail in Rome, and they didn't give the address and the GPS location on the Google map to anybody to find him. And so Onesiphorus, who had a reputation of a wonderful, loving brother who refreshed Paul in the past and encouraged him in many different ways. I'd love to find out specifically what all of that was about. But he says here, may God show mercy to him because he looked for me. How did he look for him? Looked for him earnestly. Earnestly. He just didn't go to one jail and say, excuse me, is Saul of Tarsus here with Paul? You know the guy. Oh, he could have just given up and said, I'm out of here. I mean, I have other things to do. No. He kept searching until he found them. Have you ever been in a deep, dark low place in your heart and life? Have you ever struggled in a sense in a dungeon, not maybe physically, but in your mind and heart, where you're discouraged and down, a deep valley, and somebody comes and speaks to you, somebody reaches out and sends you an email? Thank God for those people. Amen? Thank God for those wonderful people. They are partners, faithful friends that come into our lives, and sometimes they're a bit insistent on connecting. And you say, I don't want to have anything to do. But they will continue. That is love in action. Faithful friends. Thank God for His grace in faithful friends. So let me ask you, do you have an Onesiphorus in your life that does that? A good, faithful partner? Could you just raise your hand? Do you have a faithful friend? Maybe it's not, he's not doing that, or she's not doing that right now, but do you have a good encourager? Thank God. But I would like to encourage you all to ask God to provide for you, all of you, a wonderful Onesiphorus. Now let me ask this. How many of you have been an Onesiphorus to other people? Ask God to help you be a dispenser of grace. Amen? That when we are too busy with some things, ask God by His Spirit to give us this heart, that put aside a few other things, to be, in a sense, Jesus with flesh on to them and encourage them. Thank God for people like this. 8 points. You have them? Okay. I'm going to just ask you to think about this. What points of grace have we neglected? What when we haven't been kids and looking around so much. We need to look around more. And the news is, too, this is only 8. But grace is extravagant. There are millions of points of grace. Amen? All over. These are just the ones that Paul mentioned in chapter 1. He does exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think. God is a generous, gracious God. In what ways then will you be strong and confident and joyful in this week? Remember, we started by that. Paul says, look at all this around you, Timothy. So therefore, be strong in this grace. May God help us to be strong in His grace. Go ahead, now you can fill it in case you'd forgotten on your notes. You're surrounded. Please take me to the next one now, okay? I have a dear friend who passed away at the age of 92. He passed away about 3 years ago. When he was in his mid-80s, I had opportunities to go to North Point where he lived, go to his apartment and accompany him down to have dim sum. His name was Dr. Philip Tung. Tung Jinghui Mushi was a Shindo Weida. God had given me opportunities in the past to get to know him and hear him preach a number of times. And so here he is, and he's not preaching every Sunday, and but he had said at that point, I'll preach till I'm 100 years old. God took him to be with him at 92. But at that time, we would go, and from time to time, I would go to his apartment on the elevator, back down. We'd walk slowly to his dim sum place. I remember one day we got on the elevator, and he starts singing. He was singing it in Chinese, but it was this. Count your blessings. We're standing there in the elevator. He's singing out. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And then he stops. He looks at me as if to say, sing with me. And so I did. And you're going to sing with me now, okay? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, sing what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And that's the point for you today. Count your blessings, the points of grace. We're surrounded, but be strong in it. be more confident. Face tomorrow with a sense of joy because you know he's saving all the time. With a sense of joy because, God willing, there are people praying for you. May God, by his grace, go with us today. Let's pray. Father God, we just commit to you our own hearts. By your Spirit, you know where each one of us are in the journey with you. You know what each one of us need to hear from you. So we ask that you, by your wonderful way, whisper into our hearts what we need to hear and apply in our lives. And grant to us that greater sense of faith to trust you by your Spirit to work through us, the weak people that we are. For you and you alone are strong. We give you all the honor and the glory. And we thank you again for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.